to the Simply Healthy You podcast, your place for overcoming overwhelm with your health to reach your fullest potential. I'm your host, Casey Kane, and I am so pumped to have you here. I'm a recovering burnt out high achiever who was diagnosed with an autoimmune thyroid condition by my early 30s. I didn't realize that running myself ragged in the name of being superwoman and determined to achieve all the things in life was killing my body. I created this podcast so that you don't have to continue the struggle like I did for over a decade. I sat down, studied the data, and simplified what it means to prioritize your own health needs so that you can be the best for all the things on your to-do list. Everything you hear on this podcast, I have tested and implemented in my own super-packed life with my family to bring you the tips, tools, and strategies that will keep your life simply healthy. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Simply Healthy You podcast. I'm so grateful to be infiltrating your brain with today's topic. I am trying to get ahead on these episodes so I can continue with my streak of getting them out to you. I am so pumped that I've gotten them out 4 weeks in a row. So I'm actually sitting on my bedroom floor right now and trying to crank one out in the middle of the day while the baby is napping and my mom is watching my three-year-old for me. So today is going to be the second part of my discussions on adrenal fatigue and burnout. Last episode, I talked about what it was, how dangerous it can be, and how to identify the signs and symptoms that you might be on the path to adrenal fatigue or starting to experience burnout, something that we have heard about a little bit, maybe, and you know, it's becoming trendy. People are talking about it a little bit more, but if you talk to a Western medical trained doctor, there's a good chance that they are not going to acknowledge that it actually exists. So if you didn't listen to the last episode, if you're coming in today, go listen to the last episode about adrenal fatigue so you can identify if this might be a potential problem for you or something that you are starting to head down the path towards. Now, this is one health issue that I do firmly believe you need extra support for. I give away a lot of information for free. That's why I have this podcast, so that I can give out as much as I possibly can. Because one, I don't believe that these things should be a secret, especially when there is well-supported data out there. It's just a matter of synthesizing it and being able to understand exactly what most of the data and science is showing us. Science is obviously never settled. It's always changing. And I know sometimes that can be really overwhelming to go through. So that's one reason why I do all of this. I don't want this to be a secret. I want you to be able to easily understand and sort through the bullshit and confusion out there. But the second thing is, I think you should be able to start making changes in your own health on your own. A lot of these things are not super complicated, hence why Simply Healthy is such a tagline and part of the titles of everything that I do and part of the name of my company, because it doesn't have to be that complicated. We've been led to believe that it should be, and that has kept us from taking action. And I don't want you to not take action. However, I do want to say, with an asterisk on adrenal fatigue or headed down the road to adrenal fatigue, this is a pretty significant issue. Much like other chronic diseases, this is one where I think you can get started on some of the things that I'm talking about in today's episode. But if you really feel like this is becoming something serious for you or you're getting close to this, I would highly recommend that you get some extra support. If you listen to the last episode, I talked about a lot of ways where this can become a very serious condition and cause other chronic issues, and not just one, but multiple, because this is really a total body health issue. And even if you're only seeing some of the signs and symptoms right now, I would highly recommend finding like a naturopath or a functional medicine physician, in addition to someone like myself who is educated on holistic nutrition and health as well. The client that I was telling you about last time, she found a naturopathic physician and is working with me in a second round of Simply Healthy Academy. And because of what we both have been able to do with our different levels of expertise, we are totally hitting her adrenal fatigue from all sides. And this is really something that you need to do quick, and you have to attack it aggressively and from all angles to stop any long-term damage from nutrient deficiencies or hormonal imbalance and inflammation in its tracks. This is not something you want to mess around with. So again, I'm going to give you a lot of things in this episode that can help you, and many things that like I would still tell you to do if you were a client of mine, but you really should be seeing someone to make sure that there is also not anything else going on or that this hasn't triggered other things, because it's very common to have compounding issues when you're looking at adrenal fatigue. So let's dive into the ways you can work on nurturing yourself more from a lifestyle perspective. You know, I mentioned in some of the liver and gut episodes that there are ways that we can change our lifestyle, not just our nutrition, but our lifestyle, to help avoid and heal some of these conditions. And adrenal fatigue is definitely one of those, because what? It is caused by stress, and chronic stress at that. So number one on the list, this is going to come as no surprise: simplify your life to help reduce stress. I know. Easier said than done, but let's be real for a second. While some of the stress in your life is unavoidable, there are definitely stressors you can cut the hell out of your life right now. There are things that you are holding on to that you absolutely do not need to. And you know, I guarantee right now, at least one thing popped into your head that was like, you know, I don't need to be dealing with that bullshit. That bullshit is not mine. I do not have to carry it. It is toxic. So try this simple exercise. If you're like, Casey, I don't think so. I don't think I can cut anything out of my life right now. Like, I'm in a phase of having a lot of shit to do. And I get it. So am I. We all have different phases, whether you have kids, whether you have pets, whether you have partners, whether you have demanding jobs, entrepreneur, trying to achieve great things. I mean, we all are, right? We're all trying to do big things with our life. But that doesn't mean we have to be doing everything at once. And in fact, if you are trying to do everything at once, I guarantee that you're not doing anything as well as you could be if you reduce the amount of things you were working on at one time, put 100% of your effort into those things, and then moved on to the next thing. So here's a simple exercise for you. I want you to make a list of all the activities in your life that you have going on right now. Then I want you to go through the list and cross off anything that isn't absolutely necessary. And I want you to have the goal of reducing your list by half. Yes, did you hear that? I said half. Reduce your list by half. Casey, that's fucking impossible. I can't get rid of half of the things that I'm doing right now. Why would I be doing them if they weren't absolutely fucking necessary? Well, sometimes we get into this trap of saying yes to a lot of things, and we don't really realize, because we want to help the people we love and we want to achieve great things, like I said. And sometimes we don't really realize how many things we've said yes to until we are drowning in a really long list of activities. So attack that list, try to reduce it by half. And worst case scenario, I bet you will still go through and cut a good chunk of shit off that you don't need to be doing in your life. So go do it. Let me know how it goes. Message me on Instagram. I want to hear how that exercise goes for you and what you are cutting out of your life. Number two, I talked a lot in the last episode about turning on the parasympathetic nervous system. There are a lot of ways in which you can do that. So I'm going to mention some of the things here that you can do because the parasympathetic nervous system is our antidote to stress. It is our relaxation system. It kicks in to reduce the impact of stress and reduce stress that is happening in our body. And there's so many ways that you can do this. I think I mentioned this last time, but deep breathing or breath work. My friend Kelsey is fantastic with this. I am going to put her Instagram handle into my show notes. I think she has free sessions coming up soon. She does them either locally. She lives in Washington State. She does them locally, but she also does many of them via Zoom every single month. And I think she just recently released her sessions for May. So I'm going to put her handle into the show notes so that you can go check her out. She is a fantastic resource for breath work. And she does a session in Simply Healthy Academy every single round. And it is just absolutely transformative for my clients, even if they've never done it before. I've had clients, I think I mentioned this, have fallen asleep. They've fallen asleep on the breathwork call because they kick in that parasympathetic nervous system so strongly and get to that relaxation point so strongly. Humming can actually be a way to kick in your parasympathetic nervous system because it stimulates the vagus nerve. Growling also stimulates the vagus nerve, although I think that one probably feels a little bit more awkward for us than humming. But think about when you see the stereotypical idea of yoga and people are going hum. That's part of the hum that is creating is part of the reason why you see that, because yoga in some ways is designed to kick in that parasympathetic nervous system and that relaxation. So humming can help with stimulating the vagus nerve there. Tune into the sensations in your body. So sometimes all we really need to do is just stop in the moment and tune into something specific. So the feeling of your tongue in your mouth, the feeling of your feet on the floor, the feeling of the air going into your nostrils, something so basic and so simple, really zeroing in and focusing on the sensation that we are feeling can just help bring us back to our body and remind ourselves of what is going on and who we are and kind of touch back in instead of getting wrapped up in the chaos and the stress that might be happening. Another great way to stop that stress in its tracks is washing your face in cold water or taking a cold shower. I'm sure you've seen people doing cold plunging. There is absolutely a rhyme and reason to this. And one of the big ones is kicking in that parasympathetic nervous system, stopping stress in its tracks and freezing the body, pun intended there, in its place to provide that shock factor and have your parasympathetic nervous kick in and go, okay, all right, we need to calm down. We need to slow down. Practicing muscle relaxation techniques can be really helpful. Being in nature has so many different benefits, but kicking in that parasympathetic nervous system is absolutely one of them. Reminding ourselves where we came from, being out in the fresh air, getting sunshine is going to be so critically important, but just being away from the hustle and bustle and finding that place to relax is really helpful when you're out in nature. Cuddling or petting your fur babies. Yes, pet therapy is a rising thing. We have seen the benefits of that. It is, you know, very real. If you have fur babies, you know how sometimes they can be so comforting, and it is because they bring that relaxation from your parasympathetic nervous system. I mentioned yoga already, and that can be a great practice. Obviously, some forms of yoga are a bit more aggressive than others. Those aren't the ones that we would want to be doing to reduce stress. Like hot yoga is not going to be the thing, right? That's kicking in more stress on your body through that situation. But there are a lot of relaxing ones. Again, ones that might have different breathing patterns and ones that might have some of that humming a part of it can be really helpful for the parasympathetic nervous system. Meditation also goes along with this, and breath work. Meditation can feel really hard, I think, for many of us in the beginning because our brains are so used to going 24/7. There are a lot of great resources out there like the Calm app and many other ones like that that can help you as a beginner just getting into a meditation routine of even like a 5-minute meditation in the morning before you start your day, like before you get out of bed, pulling it out and doing your 5-minute meditation. Improving the gut microbiome can be really beneficial for your parasympathetic nervous system. As you have heard me talk about many times, the gut is so critical to so many aspects of our health. It is not a surprise that it could be helpful in this situation to make sure that you can actually become relaxed and that your parasympathetic nervous system can actually kick in. I want to note something here. If you've been running on adrenaline and or caffeine for years, which is typically the case when we are approaching adrenal fatigue or in the throes of adrenal fatigue, when you start to do more of this relaxation and kick in your parasympathetic nervous system, you may start to really feel like shit. It is likely that you will feel worse before you get better. You will feel exhausted. You will feel extremely emotional. You may even get physically ill. You may catch colds and things a lot easier. This is because running on the sympathetic nerves blocks us from feeling the true state of our energy. And as I mentioned in the last episode, all of the systems that are suppressed when you are in fight or flight mode, you know, immune system being one of them, you could see how this would happen. Fight or flight mode stops us from feeling digestive difficulties, exhaustion, any sort of illnesses that we have going on. It blocks us from being able to really have a good understanding of what is happening in our body because it literally only thinks that it is supposed to, we are supposed to be protecting ourselves or running from something. And so you may end up in a place where you're feeling like complete crap at the beginning of this healing journey. So push through it, power through it. This is also why I say you really, really need a support team. At least one person, at least talk to me if this is something that you might be struggling with, if you think that adrenal fatigue might be an issue for you or either you're on your way there, because when this starts to happen, it's really important that you have someone with experience that can tell you, yes, this is a normal response from your body based on the things that we've been doing, or no, I don't think we're headed in the right direction here. I think this is still adrenal fatigue. You're still in the full throes of some not so great things happening here. So there's a fine line between what is a part of the healing process and what is still a part of the illness that you're experiencing here. So a great example of this is, have you ever gotten sick as soon as you've gone on vacation? You've been go, 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 go. Or the other example I like to give is if you went to college or even, you know, when you were in high school or something and you're really stressed about finals. And as soon as finals are over, or as soon as, you know, you're done for the year, you get sick, right? This is a very common example of how, when you actually start to get into relaxation mode, your body is like, okay, hey, yeah, we were fighting this whole time, but you didn't know because you were in protecting us and running away from all the dangerous things. But, you know, now that we're relaxing, we really need some attention here. We kind of feel like shit. If you don't allow yourself to ever truly replenish your reserves and fully rest, it's like maxing out your credit cards and never paying them off. Like, that shit's going to catch up with you at some point. You can't keep going. So just know that. And this is why it can kind of feel like this is a part of the healing process. So those are some ways that you can kick in your parasympathetic nervous system. Another thing that is really important, and this is something I talk about endlessly in Simply Healthy Academy, is how you talk to yourself. Because especially as women, I think we've gotten really good at being tough critics to ourselves. We are facing so much, I think, in our society many times, so many stigmas and everything else, that all these pressures of the roles that we are supposed to play and the things that we are supposed to be doing, that I don't even think we realize much of the time the way that we talk to ourselves inside of our head. Constant negative critical thoughts will cause the same fight or flight stress response that real actual threats can cause. Remember, your body doesn't know the difference between real or imagined threats. Your brain is sending the same signal, whether it is something that is going on and created in your brain or something that is going on outside of your body. So really work on being kinder to yourself and paying attention to how that bitch in your head talks to you. You know, mine is named Dolores. I've talked about her several times. And that bitch, you know, sometimes you just gotta tell her to shut the fuck up. Another way to help the healing process from burnout and adrenal fatigue is not being afraid to cry. I know, as women, this is one of our stigmas, right? We can't cry because everyone thinks we're fucking emotional, or maybe we're PMSing or whatever. I think I mentioned this on the last episode, but there is actual physical benefits to crying. I know it seems crazy, but I just think it's so fucking cool how our body has these relief systems built into it. When you cry under stress to relieve some of the tension, whether it's from fear or anger or whatever it is that you have going on, you actually release stress hormone in your tears. And it starts to take the pressure off of the liver and detoxification system, which are working really hard in the case of burnout and adrenal fatigue. So don't be afraid to cry. If you feel it coming on, go have a good cry session. Sometimes these will be the ones where, like, you just keep crying and you literally can't stop. Like, it keeps coming out. We talked about this on the last Simply Healthy Academy call, and someone said they get those kind of cries in the shower. Because the shower is soothing, it's warm, it's comforting, and then all of a sudden they end up having like a really good cry in the shower. Hey, if that works for you, release it. Do not hold on to that. That cry is going to be very beneficial for you. Doing something physical. Now, in the case of adrenal fatigue, if you are like really depleted, you need to be careful about your physical activity. We don't want to be causing added stress. So there's a fine line here. And again, this is where working with a practitioner is going to be really important to understanding what level of physical activity you can push yourself on and when you need to hold back. But when your body is in the fight or flight response mode, doing something physical can really help to bring relief, since that's what the body is preparing for. I talked about that last time. You've got blood flowing and oxygen going to your large muscle groups and to your respiratory system. Like, doing something active will help to relieve that. Use the muscles for what the body is preparing for and allow you to bring some relief to that. So doing a workout, going for a walk, running, dancing, martial arts, swimming, trampolines, sports, whatever it is that you like to do, find something that you enjoy and move your body in a moderate to vigorous way, depending on where you are at. You know, something like walking can be perfectly suitable if your body is too depleted and too maxed out. If you're not quite there yet, then you could probably do something more vigorous, like an actual lifting workout or something like that. Creating a sleep routine and working on getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep is absolutely essential. If you don't have habits that you repeat every night before bed to get yourself into that sleep routine, it doesn't have to be anything complicated. You know how I roll. I just started a skincare routine at night. But it has been really helpful to having some sort of ritual, habit, telling my body that it's time to get ready for sleep, especially when my sleep in particular is so disrupted at this stage because of the baby. Sometimes I find it's hard for my body to know like when sleep is actually supposed to be happening. Sometimes I'm so fucking exhausted, it doesn't matter. And so you may be at that point where like actually getting to bed is not really an issue for you because you are so tired, but I still would recommend having this routine so that no matter where you are, when you travel, or what you're doing, this routine can always kick in for you and signal to you that it is time to sleep, right? Much like if you have kids, you probably have some kind of bedtime routine for them to trigger and cue into their brain that it's time to get ready for bed. Like, we're not different. We don't grow up into adults and not need those triggers and systems to help optimize our body health. Like if we do it for our kids, then we probably shouldn't be doing it for ourselves. Many times on the road to adrenal fatigue, sleep can also become challenging. So if you're not so exhausted that you're falling asleep very quickly at bedtime, what I recommend to my clients anytime they are struggling with sleep is to make sure that anytime that they can't either quickly fall asleep at bedtime, or if they wake up in the middle of the night, they can't quickly get back to sleep to get out of bed. And I know that this seems counterproductive because you're like, wait, I'm supposed to be going to sleep. If I get out of bed, I surely cannot go to sleep. But if you've been sitting in bed for 10, 15 minutes and you can't fall asleep and you feel very awake, I want you to get out of bed. I want you to stay in low light. I don't want you to start turning lights on, looking at your phone, any of that kind of stuff. Keep the blue light off. If you want some low light in your room, get like some red night lights. Red light and orange light does not have the same melatonin interruption as blue light does. So I love Himalayan salt lamps, but I also have these red square plug-in nightlights that I found on Amazon that I have plugged in around the house in case, you know, my daughter needs to get up to go to the bathroom in the night or things like that, like not having to use blue lights for anything. So stay in low light, do something calming, do something relaxing, maybe go get a warm cup of tea or something, but do something for a few minutes outside of bed because you want to only associate your bed with sleep. And if you are struggling with sleep, especially my client that I am working with right now in recovering from adrenal fatigue was having so many issues. She knew she needed to try to get more sleep, but she was struggling with going to sleep at an earlier time. And then when she did get into bed, she was thrashing and rolling around and couldn't fall asleep. Or if she fell asleep, she was waking up within an hour or so and then getting really frustrated. And so bedtime and sleeping had all of this really negative connotation to it because it just had become such a struggle for her that I recommended she get out of bed, like get out of bed, go do something else. And in 5 minutes, come back to bed and try again. If you have like a low level reading light, you could sit and read for a few minutes. But again, you don't want to be stimulating yourself too much when you get out of bed. You just want to say, okay, I am not ready for sleep right now. I'm going to do something else. And then I am going to come back and try to sleep again. And you might have to do this a few times. I get it. But the idea is that your bed only becomes associated with sleep. And if you are someone who uses your bed for doing work, I mean, sometimes, you know, I come up because the kids are really loud downstairs during some of my work time. And when I have childcare and I can't have that going on in the background, sometimes I do work on my bed, but I am very mindful of how much that happens. And if I start to struggle with sleep, then I make sure that I am not doing anything. Some people watch TV in bed a lot. I would highly recommend that if you are struggling with sleep, to eliminate doing anything other than sleep in your bed so that it becomes associated with sleep only. Something else that you will want to do if you're starting to experience burnout and adrenal fatigue is eliminate or significantly reduce caffeine consumption and other stimulants. Caffeine mimics adrenaline in the body. Obviously, it's a stimulant. It's going to ramp things up. And I've talked about this many times before for those of you who start your day with coffee and nothing else. I've talked about how you need to eat before you have your coffee, right? Because you're stimulating your body when you first wake up in the morning without having any nutrients plugged into your body, nutrients that have gotten used up overnight. And now you're basically starting your body out on a deficit by having caffeine before eating anything, and then your body is racing to catch up for the rest of the day, which is a really shitty place to be. Now, when you are experiencing burnout and adrenal fatigue, you are well beyond depleted at that point. So caffeine consumption, mimicking that adrenaline rush and burning through nutrients even faster, well, you're not doing yourself any service there. Even if you're having caffeine after you have eaten, when you are getting to this level of exhaustion and depletion in your body, you really need to temporarily take the caffeine out altogether in order to allow your body to recover. There is likely going to be supplementation that we would introduce in this situation to help to bring your body back up to regular levels. And if you are drinking caffeine, you're basically negating anything that we would be trying to do in this process. So it is only temporary, but it is something that I highly recommend if you are experiencing adrenal fatigue or on your way to burnout. reducing or eliminating any drugs and alcohol as they put unnecessary stress on the detoxification system. I think that most of us are not using recreational drugs very often. I don't know if they're the kind that listen to podcasts like this, but alcohol, I think, is a very social part of our lives. And I do think over-the-counter drugs absolutely count in this. If you're using things like Tylenol, ibuprofen, any of them that you are using, even if you have medications, reducing or eliminating any of the ones that you do not absolutely need. And I would venture to guess that you probably don't need most of them if you helped your body recover from adrenal fatigue, because they put unnecessary stress on the detoxification system. I mentioned this in the liver episode. Even if it is a medication, it has to be processed by your liver. Like, there's no way for anything to bypass your liver. Your liver is the gatekeeper. And so we don't want to be putting any unnecessary stress. I have a couple of clients right now who are doing alcohol-free months to see, because we've made a lot of changes, but they're still facing some stall points. They're still not seeing everything click into place. And so they're doing a caffeine-free and alcohol-free month this month to see how their everything that they've been doing can really have an impact. And I'll tell you, with just a couple of weeks into the month, one of my clients is seeing some significant changes after having tried for a very long time to make some changes with her body just from being caffeine and alcohol free for just a couple of weeks. It's that significant. When your liver gets just a little bit of relief and your body is able to work on absorbing those nutrients, it can be transforming. This is why I do what I do, friends. This is why I do what I do. Reducing or eliminating those can be really beneficial. Taking media breaks, social media, mainstream media, I don't care what kind of fucking media it is. Taking breaks. When you are in a chronic stress response, there is no way, especially in this day and age, that paying attention to media is doing any sort of benefit for you. I would recommend going and following a whole bunch of positive accounts on social media, people doing good in the world, people that make you laugh, those kinds of things, and restricting yourself to looking at those 90% of the day and maybe just catching up on what's going on in the world for 10% or less of your day. Really take those breaks, because again, your body doesn't know when your brain is starting to view these things that the stress is not real, that the threat is not real in front of you, but it is actually a threat you are feeling in your brain. Chiropractic care, massage, craniosacral therapy can all be really beneficial for getting your body in alignment. I talk about chiropractic care on my Instagram all the time because my entire family goes once a month to stay in alignment, and it is the best preventative medicine that I could ever recommend to anyone. Aside from the food that you're putting into your body every day, your body needs to be in alignment. And in our modern world, we're sitting a lot more. Even if you have a standing desk, like the position that we have our bodies in more often than not for most of the day is just not a regular position in the way it was meant to function. Sometimes we are just less mobile than other times. And so chiropractic care, craniosacral therapy can be really beneficial as well to help move and massage and push everything into alignment. When you get chiropractic care, it's not just about like, I had an injury and so I need to get this thing adjusted. I've popped ribs just living my life as a breastfeeding mom. So that's how extreme today's world can be on our bodies and how beneficial. Like, when I get adjusted, I literally feel taller when I walk out of there. And I almost always feel more energized that day after. And if you are just starting out with some of these practices, you might actually detox a bit more and feel a little bit crappy for the first few sessions, but keep doing it, because that means your body is getting in alignment to do the things that it was designed to do. It aligns your central nervous system so that your entire body can communicate effectively with each other. And when you're experiencing a multi-system issue in your body, like adrenal fatigue, this can be really important. All of your systems need to be able to talk to each other in order for you to successfully recover from something like this. And the last thing from a lifestyle perspective that I want to talk about is cleaning up the energy in your life. And not like a woo-woo energy kind of thing, but like, if you have toxic relationships, toxic situations in your life, they are the reason, part of the reason why you are feeling the way that you are feeling. We can tell ourselves that we can separate and compartmentalize all we want, but it is actually impossible to compartmentalize so much that it doesn't end up affecting our health. My husband is a classic compartmentalizer. I think men sometimes are better at this than women are, and just being able to put things in their boxes and push them away. But the problem with that is that even if you are great at compartmentalizing and saying, well, you know, I'm not being affected by that, I'm going to put that in that box and I'm just going to push that away, you're also not dealing with it. It is still a regular part of your life that you are not dealing with, which is still going to cause a level of stress. So really reflect and look in your life, much like the activities that I mentioned at the beginning of like, what shit do you not need to be doing in your life? What shit do you not need to be exposing yourself to in your life? And this could also go back to, you know, accounts that you're following on social media or something. If they are not contributing to your overall well-being or informing you in a way that doesn't cause you stress, but helps you to feel more empowered about what's going on, then just get rid of it. I can't tell you how many mom accounts and things I've had to unfollow over time, because what starts out as like a funny account all of a sudden repeatedly turns into really negatively talking about motherhood. Like, motherhood is really fucking hard. And I think sometimes we need to joke about it in order to bring some relief, right? Because there's just certain parts of motherhood that you can't not do. You got to raise the tiny humans when you create them. I mean, if you want to be a good mom, I guess you don't have to if you don't want to. You know, there's a difference, I think, between bringing some comedic relief to some of those things and constantly being negative about how hard everything is and not being empowering, or at least bringing moms together. So I mean, that's just an example that I've had of where I've really had to cut those things out because I found myself getting sucked into a really negative place about motherhood. And I don't feel negative about motherhood. I'm extremely grateful for where I am. So those are the lifestyle perspectives.
Yes, I realized that episode just abruptly ended. Originally, this was going to be one longer episode about recovering from adrenal fatigue and supporting your adrenals, but I realized it was getting really long. So I have split it into two parts. This part obviously was about lifestyle interventions that you can take. And in the next episode, I am going to talk all about nutrition, dietary recommendations, as well as herbal supplementation. So thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Simply Healthy You podcast. If these episodes are resonating with you, go ahead and click that subscribe button and leave a review with all the great nuggets that you're taking away from today's episode. I promise you, I read every single one of them, as your feedback is really valuable to me in creating future episodes. As your host, I look forward to having you join me for the next episode. But in the meantime, remember, keep it simple and eat more plants.